جزاكم الله خير، بارك الله فيكم.
جزاك الله وانا اكو صاحب الله تعالى ريورد يو for informing and inspiring the ummah on the life of the sahaba ikram. Indeed, there's so much of lessons that we can take and emulate in our lives. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're back to our question and answer session. Mufti Sahib, the question here, talking about patience and anger management, why do most learned people not possess this trait, as it is the teachings of all the prophets?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala informed us, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Human being has been created weak. Start from Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Almighty Allah is who? Subhanallah. That Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala was, is, will always be the one who transcends every weakness, every defect, every shortcoming. He's more perfect than the word perfect. So everlasting glory, perfection for Almighty Allah. In creation, the best of the best are the Prophet and Messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. And amongst them, Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, is Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also forgot. See, in Salat, made a mistake the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. Almighty Allah states, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. And your Allah Jalla wala will never ever forget. So that shows that, remember, human being, obviously Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and all the prophets and messengers are ma'soom by divine protection from all types of sins and vices and so forth. Then you come to ordinary mortals and like us, everybody will have certain weaknesses. There's no one today in the world who's living can say he don't have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. So if I have ABC weakness, so then you must admit to it, and then you must try and address it and redress it. You have weaknesses, so therefore you must address it and redress it. The problem with us is Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif and the hadith in, you know, Bulughul Maram, Tuba man shaghalahu aibuhu an uyubin nas. That Jannat is for that person and paradise is for that person. That he must get busy by looking at his own defects and his own faults rather than looking at the faults of other people. So today what we do, majority of us, we will look at the faults of others and conveniently overlook our own faults. That is where the problem lies. Whether it is to do with patience, or whether it is to do with anger, or whether it is to do with stinginess, or whether it is our interaction with our wives, our children and family, and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahab, itikaf should be in your local masjid. I am in Durban. I was advised for my islah, I must go to Azadville in Johannesburg. Please give me some nasiha.
My advice to you will be, if you can find a masjid there in Durban where nobody is sitting, then you go and sit there, but there are conditions attached to that. Number one is this, that remember, what about your debts? Are you debt-free? Or you owe people debts and so forth? Then for you, the best thing is to continue working and pay your debts. Second one, wherever you sit for etikaf, is it best for you that you sit in Durban or Azadville or wherever else? So let's just use provinces, better in Natal or better in Gauteng and so forth. But you must make arrangements for your wife, your children, the security. You know South Africa is crime-ridden and so forth. So all these are conditions, brother. Personally, I don't know you and I don't know what your situation is, but you ask me a question, and the hadith sharif of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mustasharu mu'tamanun, that the person with whom you make mashura, he should be honest. My advice to you, just go to the Jamiat Ulama KwaZulu Natal there in Alpine Road, or and ask them, which masjid here in South Coast, North Coast, Central, or wherever, there's nobody nobody sitting, and I will go sit there for itikaf, you will receive the optimum money and maximum reward. Second one, if you want to sit with other people, so in Ispingo Beach, Mufti Saleji and them, they sit there. They in Stenger, somebody sits there, because I know they approached me when I was there recently and so forth. And then you go to these places where they are. Yeah, mashallah, Azadwal and them, hundreds of them are sitting. So therefore, my advice will be, rather sit in Natal, especially in those places where there's nobody sitting. And I told you, if you want to sit by some Maulana, some Mufti Sahib, some Peer Sahib, Sheikh Sahib, so go there, Ispingo Beach, South Coast, or go to Stenger, and I don't know who's sitting in Stenger, but anyway, so you can, inshallah, reap the benefit there. So that will be my advice to you.
Sir, soon the sardine run will take place. I want to know the fish in the sea is free for all, but why do we have to pay for it? Who's the money going to? God doesn't charge us fees.
So, my brother, you know where we're living. You know which country we're living in. It's South Africa, Papa. So, ANC, DC, direct current. AC, alternate current. ANC and no current. So, they know how to tax us and how to collect from us. Everything you must pay. So you have to pay for the toll road, you have to pay for the petrol, you have to pay for the diesel. Everywhere in the world you have to pay, but here we are paying so much. Every time there's increase, and so forth. So now the sardine run will come there in the South Coast and so forth. For you Muslims, you should remember this word sardine. In the Arabic, sardine, seen, alif, dal, noon. Sardine, and you ulama scholars and students should remember this. The people in charge of the Zamzam water, that is called Siqaya, Aja'altum Siqayat al-Hajj. People who give the water and so forth are called Saqi. But the people who are in charge of the keys of the Baytullah, that portfolio is called Sidana. And the person who has the keys of the Baytullah and the Kaaba Musharrafa, he's called Mr. Sardin, Sin, Alif, Dal, Noon. So remember that. Don't worry only about your Sardin rush day in the South Coast. So obviously it's a money-making gimmick for them. What does it mean to be in government? Government means, you know Raj Bansi, I'm sure you heard his name. Raj Bansi was asked once, he was a very charismatic character, let's call him that. So Raj Bansi, you must remember, was one day asked, what is the definition of politics? He said the definition of politics is to make the impossible possible. You see that? So now in government means you must look how you can take more money from the public and give them less. So that is the government. For what they're all fighting and all that. And they promise you 90% of the promises, all the hollow promises and lies. So they know masses are asses and they fool them all the time. So that is what happens, my brother. Everything Almighty Allah gives us is free of charge. Sunrise, sunset, the sun, the moon, the stars, the oxygen, everything, what is in the ocean, all that. You see in Gaza al-Mubarakah, the apartheid terrorists, Jewish Zionist regime, murderers, super rapers, and what have you. Every title you can use will be applicable to them. Genocide, ethnic cleansing, crimes against humanity, war crimes. They don't even allow the people of Gaza to do fishing and swimming and what have you freely. Always they will try and cause impediments and obstacles for them. So that is what happens. The greed and the jealousy, remember, eats them up.
Respected Mufti Sahab, when I was in Madrasa, Standard 5, Grade 7, during Asr time, the APA used to make us girls, and I was one of them, to make us aggregate girls, like who could read the Quran a bit faster, fluently, to read with Jamaat for all the girls. Was this a sin?
The way I understand your question, if I misconstrued it, then just send another question to Mawla Salim Kareem and then Maulana, because I don't see any of the questions there. So anyway, the way I understand your question, my sister, is you were in Standard 5. Even I know it as standards, right, in those days when we went to school. Now they say grade, so that's grade 7. So the apa, the muallima, who tell you that you must be leading the prayer. So it means you were the imam. That's how I understood it. And then the other girls, your colleagues, will follow you because you used to read Quran Sharif fluently and so forth. So the question you are posing, is this right? So obviously it's wrong according to all four schools. Why is wrong according to all four schools? The hadith of Umm Waraqa radiallahu anha is mentioned in Abu Dawood. And the Tarjamatul Bab, the heading there reads Imamatun Nisa. So the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis say you can have a lady imam and the ladies follow her. But yeah, you are reading loudly and Asr Salat you read softly. So that is a violation, is wrong according to that school also. Second one, according to Hanafis, and you are a Hanafi because you're in Durban and all these areas, normally you're a Hanafi. So Hanafi and Maliki say for a woman to be imam is wrong in itself. And then you're reading loudly, that's wrong. So remember what your appa, ma'al ihtiram, you must continue making dua for them, but what they taught you is totally incorrect and sinful also. The sin will be upon her, but not upon you, but that is what our deen is all about. Rabbi zidni ilma, oh my beloved Allah, increase me in knowledge. I give you my own story. We were all ma'asum, small youngsters, going to madrasa, 6, 7, 8 years old. Whatever the Maulana Ustad said, we just accepted. There was no such thing as you question him. I remember very well, the one Ustad told us, if your big toe, it moves even quarter inch, half an inch, your Salat is broken. Obviously, that's not true. So when we're reading Salat, we're concentrating more on our big toe. The big toe must not move, you see that? So that is why, Unzuru amman ta'khuduna dinakum, watch out from whom you acquire and imbibe your Islamic knowledge, Ibn Sirin said. So therefore, my sister, that what happened is wrong, make dua for them and ask Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala for forgiveness.
AK, show me God, I need proof.
So my brother, you are in Durban, you see the high tide, you see the low tide. Who is doing that, I'm asking you. I'm asking you, go now, when I'm finished with the response, to the mirror and look at yourself. Look at your eyes, look at your ears, look at your nose, look at your lips, look at everything. Who created you? Your father, your mother? Who gave you all these faculties and facilities and all these type of things? Any scientist, any professor, any doctor? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. You, my brother, my sister, you are the greatest computer. You are the masterpiece of Allah's creation. How come you're forgetting the Creator and you are so engrossed in the creation? So that is a sign that we have very little puny brains, that the greatest benefactor, who lets us inhale, exhale, who lets us sleep, who gives us, you must remember, you want the sign of Almighty Allah, you're going to have breakfast just now, right, you non-Muslim. So when you have your breakfast, so your breakfast will be, I'm speaking of you non-Muslim, right, atheist, whatever. So you're going to have your bacon, you're going to have your ham, you're going to have your little bit of wine and swine and what have you and whatever. So all these type of things you will have. And then you will have water, you will have tea, coffee, whatever. Everything goes in from your mouth, right? So the solids and the liquids, after 6 hours, 8 hours, now you have to run to relieve yourself and so forth. How come the liquid come out from the front and the solid come out from the back? You did it. Your father did it. Your doctor did it. Who's doing all this, my brother? Your own high tide and low tide, who's doing all that? You got the answer now? So everything happens. The sun rise takes place with precision. With a million years, another 1,000 years, Allah alone knows how long. So remember that no computer, no creation can work like that. You have to take the car, you have to take the plane, you have to take the rocket for servers, for lubrication, and so forth. The sunrise, sunset with precision, and yet you're asking, where is Almighty Allah? Can you look into the sun? You can't look into the sun, but you enjoy the sunlight. When you can't look into the sun, the creation of Almighty Allah, S-U-N, so how are you going to look into Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala? He is beyond our perception, comprehension. And that's why Almighty Allah gives us his signs and symbols. You got it, my brother? So you must be a talib, a sadiq, a sincere person in the quest of the truth, and then Allah will guide you to the truth. Allah Ta'ala bless you, guide you to Islam, my brother, sister.
Respected Mufti Saab, I had jewelry to the value of 60,000 rand. During the course of last year, I married and received more jewelry. Do I pay zakat on 60,000 or on all the jewelry in my possession?
MashaAllah, when you spoke, I thought of the fatwa of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh. He was a very short sahabi. His calf and shins were very, very thin, you know. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda used to say, Iltamisul ghina fin nikah. So look for richness in nikah. So you had 60,000 rand worth of jewelry. Now, MashaAllah, you marry your good husband. He gave you another 40,000 rand in cash and jewelry. So now you got 100,000. So you must pay zakat on 100,000, my sister. So 2,500 rand zakat will be compulsory upon you. Dhammul lahiq bisabiq. You take your current jewelry and wealth and join it to the previous one. Although on the new one, only 1 week or 1 month or 3 months pass, but you join it to the previous one. So that is how zakat works, my sister.
Mufti Saab, why do I only receive 1/8 of inheritance? If I die before my husband, do I inherit from him?
Remember, my sister, the Quran Sharif is our constitution. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala created us. Islam means to surrender, to submit ourselves lovingly, willingly, sincerely to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So let me give you the verses from the noble Quran, and we must accept it, not reluctantly. We must accept it willingly, lovingly, sincerely, and my Almighty Allah, our Almighty Allah knows what is best. So let me give you the different scenarios, and then we will end, inshallah. So you pass away before your husband, and there are no children. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ, and for your husband there'll be half. So it means after your demise, my sister, first burial expenses, then the debts of the deceased, your personal debts and loans, your corporate business debts, all that must be paid. You made wasiya, you bequeath, you understand, to your brother, your sister, or somebody like that who's not an heir, or your auntie, or your madrasa, or whatever. So maximum 1/3 of the net estate for the beneficiaries, and fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So you pass away, no child, nor from him nor from any previous husband if you were married previously, so your husband 50% half. You pass away before your husband, and remember, then he will receive 25%, because now they are children, child or children, so therefore his share will be decreased. So in a case where your husband dies before you and passes away before you, and he doesn't have any children from you or other wives and so forth, whether they're dead or alive, so in a case like that, وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُؤُ, then you will inherit 25%. And if he, your husband, passes away before you, and he has a child from you or any other wife, whether dead or alive, so you, the wife, will then get فَلَهُنَّ ثُمُنُ, you will get 1/8, 12.5%. So all this is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 4, verse number 12, okay? So you, my sister, you say, no, but it seems very little and so forth. So you must now do sit with your husband and telling Habi, see my sacrifice. I left my parents, I left my place of my birth, I made all the sacrifices for you. So now, and I'm serving you also. So now you must start transferring some of your money to me. You must start transferring some of your properties to me. You must start giving me some extra Kruger coins or whatever you. So in that way, whatever your husband gave you, during the marriage while it subsisted, and you are the owner, and no conditions can be made. If he gave you a gift, even if he made a condition, the condition falls away, and you will be the owner of that. So whatever is yours, will not come into the estate. And remember that either your share will be 25% or 12.5%, as I explained. So sister, main thing is, we must accept it lovingly, willingly, sincerely. That is the decree of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. We go now for the news with Brother Suleiman Esop. Jazakallah khairan, Muasalim Kareem. Inshallah, 7:15 we will send out the podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.